I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us for the last hour is going to be our all-time favorite American, Jack Mullen from the Government Rag, the greatest rag that you're going to find anywhere, really, for dealing with controversial issues and taking it by the throat and just, you know, revealing those hard and bitter truths. You know, I was talking to Jack off air, and, you know, maybe there's a way. It's a shame that, you know, you can't even hear some of this on, you know, some of the things that are going on, but, you know, how we are both, you know, we read the same books, it appears, and watch some of the same movies and TV shows, and, you know, have the same likes and dislikes on many, many issues that it just seems, you know, we were destined to crash into each other and do something positive for the world, because we're not inhibited to tell you where it's at. And where it's at is just awe-inspiring, awe-inspiring. As I restore some of my old videos and go through some of the information, like, you know, I've forgotten so much, because I was working on some in 2009, but, you know, one article I found in Wired magazine, The Weird Russian Mind Control Research Behind a DHS Contract, the Psychotechnology Research Institute of Moscow, you know, and hand in glove with the Department of Homeland Security, something that can plant thoughts in your mind and read your mind, technology like that. And then, you know, that's going back to 2009. This is 10 years later. Where have they gotten with this stuff? And how the father of MKUltra mind control for the Russians, Igor Smirnov, he's passed away, but it's his wife, Rozalkina, who is continuing on with the work. Hopefully, you know, as it's written in here, for a better motive. But this Smirnov guy, like, he was invited to Waco to try to do something to them. And it was so bizarre, the FBI turned him down and sent him home. But DHS, in 2007, according to this article, spent $973 million for science and technology and a recently announced Project Hostile Intent. Now, that doesn't sound to me like that's something to make you to go to church on Sunday. That sounds to me like you're pulling off something that is not in the best interests of the Republic or we the people, if I had to guess. And almost $1 billion on that. And what was Project Hostile Intent? Where did it go? See, that's the trouble. Sometimes we say this stuff and we don't carry the ball far enough down the road to monitor it forever, because there's a million news stories coming across the plate on a regular basis. But, you know, to people who, you know, give the state the God complex, guess again, probably the Antichrist complex. Anyway, Jack, you were telling me something about a predictive programming element coming down in Seattle. And I've carried balls like that before, and I wasn't familiar with this one, so maybe we should say it so we can change the predictive programming and take the train off the tracks. What was the substance of that?
It was an interesting, to start off with, most people know that 9/11 was shown to the American people for decades as a form of predictive programming. Many, many movies were made about it. In fact, books were written about it. Even Netanyahu was talking about it in 1995 when he said in, I forget the name of the book, one of his books about terrorism, that if the United States didn't do something about terrorism in the Middle East, before they knew it, the World Trade Centers would be attacked. Now, you know, no one asked him after they came down how he happened to know that. But they predicted the World Trade Center's destruction in so many ways that one researcher, I was watching his video, is a German guy, very, very interesting person. He said he could produce 1,000 hours worth of YouTube video showing the number of times that 9/11 was predicted before it happened. And we're talking about major predictions where they show the towers crumbling, crashing, pictures in the background that say, like in The Simpsons, for example, that show the Oh, no, I think it was Johnny Bravo. Johnny Bravo, the cartoon, had a picture in the background. I think it was about 6 months before the World Trade Center's collapsed, of the World Trade Center's being hit by an airplane, and underneath the picture it said, coming soon. And these are the sort of things that predicted 9/11, but no one could see it at that time, no one being used to this world where everything that we get shown in the mainstream media, everything that comes on our radar turns out to be something that has some propaganda value and is not necessarily connected to reality at all. And so the idea for each one of these false flag events, whether it was the Gulf of Tonkin or whether it was the attack on the Maine or whether it was Pearl Harbor, each one of these had the mission to create an emotional state of mind such that the controllers that we live under could get their way as they changed the board on which we live. So they needed a war. They want to be able to shuffle the deck in terms of which nations are strong and which ones aren't. Then they create these false flag events and then use them to take the nation to war, or in the case of 9/11, do all sorts of things. And that includes create the new police state and the surveillance state that we have endured since the days of 9/11. And so this, I saw a video, I first saw it on Adam Green's channel, but it's produced by a, it was actually produced by several German people, but they came up with this notion that there had been for the past 10 years or more, an enormous amount of predictive programming that they could identify as having to do with the city of Seattle and a particular date and a set of events. And those events being, you know, that something terrible happens in Seattle, some form of a bomb, some form of an explosion. This individual, his YouTube channel, I can't say it properly, probably, but it's called Cochen, C-O-C-H-E-N, space Mitt, M-I-T, and his last name, I would assume, is Willie, W-I-L-L-I. That's his YouTube channel. And he has a number of videos on here where he documents, you know, right beside 9/11 imagery and predictive programming, you can find Seattle, Washington predictive programming having to do with things flying into the Space Needle and explosions in Seattle. And all the way back to, like, even say, for example, the movie War Games. And War Games, if you remember that particular thing, and they began playing a simulated war game, not knowing that it was real. Matthew Broderick and I forget the girl's name. And the city that they chose to, that the computer chose for them to blow up, because they originally decided on Las Vegas, was Seattle. And in that, in their, you know, in this little simulated game, the numbers 311 showed up a lot. I think it was the area code at the time. But anyway, there was reason to put together the idea that there's some connection in these numbers. And so the numbers that are important would be 113. So jumping ahead to the future, this individual studied the cover of the magazine in 2015, The Economist magazine. We all know that The Economist is a predictor of future events and has been. It's owned by the Rothschilds. It's specifically designed at least once a year to map out a strategy in the form of what's going to happen in the future on their front cover. In the 2015 edition, there's a lot of symbology that is related to clues that can be found in The Simpsons and other cartoons. I mean, I use The Simpsons because it's featured a lot, but there's many, many others that have to do with football and have to do with explosions and panic. And I know that I'm making a weak case here, but they do make a pretty strong case. And so the bottom line on this is they believe that 11 November the 3rd, 11/3/2019, will be the day in which Seattle gets attacked, and it'll be in the form of fire. They have a lot of reasons for that, a lot of books and so forth predicting fire in Seattle during a terrible time period, and that the ultimate end for this particular attack will be to declare an enemy And if any of you ever paid any attention to Leon Skousen and his brother, what the heck's his brother's name? He had several brothers, actually. He's always on Alex Jones. Can't think of his first name right now. He talked about knowing and understanding the future because of his family's interconnection with the elite. And one of the things that his name is Joel Skousen. Joel talks about the end wars, the time when the United States and the nations are taken down to make way for the New World Order, will start with some sort of event, and that event then will be blamed on one of the superpowers. He believes in fact that, you know, Russia and China will be mobilized against the United States. But anyway, in back to Seattle, this war is supposedly going to start as a result of deciding who it was that attacked Seattle. Now, of course, we know in 9/11, it was Israel, and with support from the United States intelligence agencies of some form, that attacked the World Trade Centers, and then that was used as a reason to attack the Middle East for purposes of the Greater Israel plan. And that plan, which would then see Israel expand its borders and balkanize the existing states. They said there were going to be seven countries demolished in 5 years. That was Wesley Clark, general at the time, found out 10 days after 9/11 that that was the plan. They already had the Patriot Act ready to roll. It already had been written. They had predicted it in the PNAC document in 1998, I think, saying they needed a new Pearl Harbor in order to get started with the agenda in the Middle East. Well, so now the agenda has reached a point where maybe it's at an impasse in the United States. They're attempting to get our weapons. They're working maliciously to destroy the economy and create a race or a civil war, however you look at it. And at the same time, they may need some other Kickstarter. And so there's a lot of information I think that people need to look at. I particularly like the video called False Flag Seattle, November 3rd, which is on the site of that individual I just told you. But if you have trouble finding him, go to Adam Green's site and look at the video that he produced about that other gentleman's video, and you'll get all the connections there. And I saw a couple of other interesting things, like, there's so many interesting things, but there's a video out now from a band called World Order. And World Order is a Japanese band, and they create a video called, and you just got to see it to believe it, called Let's Start World War III. And in that video, they begin their dance in someplace in Japan, and they follow what looks to be a yellow brick road, and there's lots of Wizard of Oz symmetry or symbolism, and they follow a yellow brick road from Japan to eventually a Starbucks located in Seattle, Washington. Along the way, they make symbolisms for the numbers 3 and 11 repeatedly, over and over and over. Plus, there's other places in the video where 311 or 113 shows up prominently. And so they've got a video entitled Let's Start World War III that leaves Japan and follows the yellow brick road to eventually where they're standing right in front of the Space Needle. Now, if you go back to the Batman movies, the Batman movie of the time when Sandy Hook was in play, for example, there was a scene in one of those movies, and I forget which Batman movie that was, but it was one of the last Batman movies where they blew up the football field and at a football game, and you saw the stadium collapse. And in that particular scene of the stadium collapsing, you can find the numbers 322 shown above they're shown in the stands between one layer of stands and another. They've got the numbers 322 randomly placed there. Of course, 322 being the number of skull and bones and having, you know, the magic that is invoked by skull and bones. And for whatever reasons, they chose that number. And you probably know more about that number than I do, George. But anyway, it's interesting to note that the stadium in Seattle is where they believe this attack is going to take place during the Seahawks game on November 3rd. And Adam Green checked, and if you look at the stadium, it oddly enough doesn't have a seat at or a section of seats at 322. has 321 and 323, but no sections at 322, which is, you know, random because the rest of the stadium is consistent. So anyway, it's just an interesting collection of things, but it's interesting to note that it was November 3rd, 2014 when they christened the new One World Trade Center in New York City. It was also on November 3rd, 2018 when, for reasons of supposedly honoring the owner of the stadium in town and also an original builder of the Space Needle, they are honoring him after his death, which happened 2 weeks earlier, they illuminated the Space Needle in all blue. They managed to make it look entirely blue. And we know blue is an interesting color. I mean, Project Blue Beam, but there's a lot of reasons why blue shows up in the occult world for particular reasons that, you know, many and most don't know. But that happened also on 2018, 311. So there are, you know, just a lot of interesting things that seem to be random until you pull them together. And I think that this particular incident is something that everyone ought to have a look at. If it happens, then you understand that you've been told it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, we're all lucky. Maybe we made it stop.
Well, I look at existence as something like it's a living computer programming event, and they do it. And if we jump on it, we do it. But speaking of, you know, your Batman, it's the Dark Knight, second Batman target identified and isolated in Gotham map is a blog on my website, where the map that was used in this movie, when you look at it in detail, has strike zones, five strike zones, and little circles and little squares. And it also has Sandy Hook written on it. And those circles and squares add up to the number of victims, male and female. And then another two circles with a dotted thing about it that would imply other persons, perhaps the murder-suicide of the perpetrator. And it is just so on the money that, you know, it just sends shivers down your spine. And I've done some predictive programming things on 9/11 too, from advertising and the like. But one of the most important ones is the fact the Committee for a Reasonable World Trade Center's ad, appearing on page 38, May 2nd, 1968, of the New York Times. This is the plans to build it. Okay, there's a picture of the two World Trade Centers, smoke coming out of the affected floors, and a plane crashing into the building with the caption embedded into the photograph, "The mountain comes to Manhattan," which is like a play on Muhammad and the mountain. When you look at the addresses of the governor at the time, the zip code, you get 911. Okay, the Committee for a Reasonable World Trade Center, 450 7th Avenue, which is 945, zip code 10001, 9/11, the mountain comes to Manhattan. And right from the get-go, then there's an ad for Pakistan Airlines. And there's a jumbo shadow of a plane in the World Trade Center. And when you go through the numbers in this as well, they break down into 9/11 as well. So it's called New York, 16 hours, 30 minutes, via PIA. And when you go through the numbers and do the numerology, you get the date coming out, 9/11. So this happens all the time. One of the, you know, the other big ones, let's see here, because I've been looking at so many things, I'll see I get my Pearl Harbor one, was in Collier's Magazine. And it was December the 7th. 1907, front page cover of Collier's Magazine has a picture, and you see the battleships coming with you know, like the Japanese flags behind it. They're approaching. There's a little destroyer flying a red flag in front of them, kind of like blocking it. Well, there was a destroyer on point duty that day. And when you look at the waves in the artwork, there, you know, one segment is a map of Pearl Harbor. And when you do the prices and the dates and all that sort of thing, it tells you very, very clearly that this is referring to December the 7th, 1941, and that this is coming. And the, you know, caption on the main picture is Westward Ho. So it's almost like, you know, oh, is time travel possible? Was there some sort of way that someone was sending out a warning to tell you about a future event, hoping someone would see it, know it, or do something about it? Or is this like a predictive programming element where you're actually making the program to happen? But, you know, there are great issues about. I know on our Pearl Harbor show that I did, I think I was mentioning how the president went to university with one of the admirals from the Japanese Navy, and they were talking about stuff like this back in his early days. And it was just like, it was so open. It was like everybody knows, but nobody knows. At least as far as the people who are going to be the victims, who are going to be used or manipulated. It's like the rich, the powerful, the elite have levers of control over us that are beyond any kind of scope that we could understand as far as technology is concerned, and that we're just mere playthings in their sandbox, and they can do whatever they want to us. One of the other, you know, fantastic movies for predictive programming in the not too far past was the one Knowing. And if you go on my blog site and look up the Knowing right. code, it predicted the Gulf oil disaster. It's playing on the news in the background. And then he was always had these big boards full of numbers. Fukushima's in there. It's got the area code for Tokyo. Talks about the power of the quake. And everything is there for you to see that that they know. And it's released before everybody's eyes, but only a few enlightened ones can see it if they dare take the chance. Anyway, I'm George Freund. This is Power Hour Nation with Jack Mullen. We'll be back on the other side of the break, unless the predictive programming changes.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
Okay, we're back. Power Hour Nation. I'm George Freund from Canada. Joining us, Jack Mullen from Government Rag, a noble and patriotic American who has the eyes to see, which is something Christ talked about a lot, is you have eyes but you don't see, because so much is put before our eyes. Admittedly, there's a time factor, and that's why, you know, some of the older generation like us are probably required to remind the younger generation about things from the past that were part of the predictive programming element that maybe just hadn't come to play yet. Because the great 1977 film Black Sunday about, you know, the terrorist attack at the Super Bowl. And, you know, got the classic actors in there, of course. So, you know, you got to love Robert Shaw, Bruce Dern. You know, they'll make the movie pretty much on their own. You know, you great bad guy character Robert Shaw can be. But this is something that is done on a regular basis to kind of induce you into it, to accept it or to generate power, to allow it to happen. And it's something I've worked on a lot. You know, especially since I was doing my own thing at Conspiracy Cafe, I'm paying the freight and, you know, I just go where it takes me. And some of the things that I found in newspapers, because it was a great TV show called, what was that one there, about Early Edition. And it was about a guy who gets tomorrow's newspaper today. Well, there's some true meanings in that, where they would publish some of this stuff days in advance and tell you something was going to happen. So that way you would know. That's how you get to short sell. Because if you knew to read it or to understand what it truly meant, then you could invest or divest as circumstances warrant and profit from the crimes of other people. And some that I found were just so specific that it had to be written that way. So one I did was, there was a crossword puzzle or a letter, no, a letter about Paris Hilton or something. So I took, it had circled letters, and I took the circled letters and played the word jumble. And I got the exact location and details of a terrorist attack at a nightclub in London, England, out of that. So they had to know. And it had to come from this fact. And the people who knew this, saw this, knew how to read it, knew how to handle it, and use it to their advantage. You know, this is just the way it goes. Another one I found, I didn't do it until after the event, was the 7/7 bombing in London. And there's pictures of the newspaper from the day where they had a big full-page ad in the Canada's National Post newspaper of something called War of the Worlds. And it just showed this bizarre attack, killing people on public transit, a cemetery, you know, with all kinds of graves and mad scientists in a building launching this attack and such. The coordinates of the page number were London. Okay, pretty clear. And War of the Worlds. And a lot of people don't. See, when I look at a lot of these attacks, I look at it as a potential murder. Who did you want to kill? And there's lots of victims to go through, so you got to go scooping through their backgrounds. And then every now and again, you find somebody who's like, you know, if this guy wasn't the target, I don't know who was. And his name was Giles Hart. And he helped back in the good old days to get money to go to the Solidarity Trade Union in Poland through the Vatican and the CIA. And a significant amount of money even still today. And he was also president of the H.G. Wells Society, War of the Worlds. So maybe they were even naming him specifically as the target of interest. And then everything's taken down to the lowest common denominator. Bad guy blows this up. Don't look at any of the facts. Trust me. Believe me. Any cops that want to get in on looking into the true matter of the evidence are ordered off, told to stand down. And then whatever cover story that they want to come up with is used. Giles Hart was knighted by the Polish government, given a big award for his activities in this Cold War era of getting money into Poland to do regime change. And he probably knew where a lot of the bodies were buried, for lack of a better word. He would be my primary target. And he was on the bus. And there was a big advertisement for a play in London. They don't show you that side of the bus very often. It took me a while to find that picture. And it just says terror in giant letters across the bus. And when you look into the background of the so-called terrorists, these guys met a cabinet minister. They went to his office in Parliament. He took them home for dinner. So they're hardly rogues. I look at them as James Bondskis. And maybe they were on a mission that they weren't going to come back from because they trusted the system or believed in the system and didn't realize how narcissistic the system is, that it would actually use you in a very covert action and then kill you. But as I piece together, you know, more and more information about what happened on the top of the bus, one of the guy, the alleged terrorist on the bus, the last people to get off the bus said he was very nervous, and he kept opening his bag, looking inside, and he's got what I call from friends in the military called the BOSOF factor, beads of sweat on forehead, because he opened his bag, and he saw, that's a real bomb. And they probably hired him to do like a security test, because they were doing a drill that day to work for a British government to test security, and that he had a fake bomb. But he opened up his bag, and he probably saw, I got a real one. And, you know, he's calling his buddies, but they're not around to answer the phone anymore. So, you know, what's he doing? He's just nervously opening it. And then the last person who got off the bus heard him yell. And he said, oh, S-H-I-T. And then it exploded. And you know the vehicle that's parked beside the bus? There's a van. And in big letters it says Kingstar. That picture's been seen by hundreds of millions of people, and I got to wonder, why was I the only person to look up Kingstar on the Internet? Kingstar is a demolitions company with special emphasis to robotic demolitions and really hard jobs and contracts with the British government. And they were maybe even working on the tube a little bit before, you know, my memory's a little foggy for that because it's so long ago now. But everybody's seen that picture. And nobody, explosive trucks beside a bus that blew up. I wonder if there's any cause and effect relationship with that, or is that just a conspiracy theory? That's probably why the guy, as soon as he saw, he's on a double-decker open-air bus, as soon as he saw that van, he's probably going like, you know, that's it for me, man, lights out. So he said the S-word.
Yep.
And you're retired on Her Majesty's service. And then one of the victims saw the explosion, right? He was there. He survived. He was supposed to die. His girlfriend was dead. Her body was lying on top. By the time they cleared everything up to get him out, he lived. And he said, there was no bomber standing where they say the explosion happened. There was a hole in the floor, but the bomb came from up. It didn't blow down. So you could see the twisted metal, just like you shot a hole in a can, goes in the direction of the travel of the bullet, and it bends in. And he saw the hole when they were carrying him out. And he said there was nobody there to blow it up, and the explosion came from below the floor and blew into the train carriage. Then the Queen comes to visit him the next day, and that's the talk of the town. And it was only in the community newspaper that he actually lived in that I found comments to that effect. It's just hand in glove that we got sold another, false flag. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you were going to comment, Jack?
No. I just accidentally bumped my audio here on my computer.
No worries.
I was looking at some predictive programming stuff, but if you want to finish that story, go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt it.
Oh, no. That pretty much sauces it. But one thing I would like to get on the go is while I was doing some research for this old show, I clicked on an article I never read before called Psychotronic and Electromagnetic Weapons, Remote Control of the Human Nervous System. And this is on Global Research. So 1975, a neuropsychologist, Don R. Justison, director of the Laboratories of Experimental Neuropsychology at Veterans Administration Hospital in Kansas City, talks about Pandora, a secret project of the American Navy. And they're using voice-modulated microwaves to put thoughts, ideas in your head, and that this was also inadvertently released by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in 1997 in an article, Communicating Via the Microwave Auditory Effect. So when sometimes you take somebody to the hospital in a straitjacket and they're hearing voices in their head, you know what? It could be varying voices in their head. The U.S. Air Force patented some of this technology in 2002, that they can transmit phrases into the heads of human subjects, albeit with marginal intelligibility. And that they stress again that they don't want anyone publishing this material. And then a statement from someone who was talking about this, Mr. Schapitz, said, in this investigation, it will be shown that the spoken word of hypnotists may be converted by modulated electromagnetic energy directly into the subconscious parts of the human brain without employing any technical devices for receiving or transcoding the messages, without the person exposed to such influence having a chance to control the information input consciously. This is just overwhelming, and that most governments in the world, according to other articles, one from Czechoslovakia, already have this technology and are using it. And the Israel uses this technology on Palestinians, it says in the article. And then the vice president of the League of Independent Scientists of the USSR, Viktor Sedlecki, commented on it too. As an expert in this, he declares that the mass production of psychotronic biogenerators was launched in Kiev, imagine of all the places, and these psychotronic generators have the effect of guiding control in the human organism. Many people are suing American law enforcement and government agencies over this. Another Russian guy, Vladimir Lopatin, in 1999, was chairman of Military Reform Subcommittee of the Supreme Soviet Committee, and he met some guy called Dick Cheney to talk about these issues. And he was rather open-minded about it because he got, not the Russian heart attack, but he was retired from his job very quickly. And he says that there's a secret arms race in all this material, and that the superpowers are basically in a master war to get your mind in your brain, and it would mean an end to any democracy. And this is also something they say that HARP is all about, supposedly being able to target large regions of the planet by vibrating the ionosphere in brain frequencies. They don't do it yet, but that can be done at any time when they want to turn it on and make you believe in any fairy tale they want you to believe in. There was a bill that was supposed to go through Congress to say that these things should be banned, but it got changed, and they left it out of the space preservation bill. So Nick Begich talks about this a lot in Angels Don't Play This Harp. And It's a big new Brzezinski, of course, for people who are aware, and I put his book Between Two Ages in the library section of my website, talking about more controlled and directed society, taking advantage of crisis to use the latest modern techniques for influencing public behavior and keeping society under close surveillance and control. And then the U.S. Army War College published in 1994 for 2000, so this is old hat now, the president was thus amenable to the use of the sort of psychotechnology which formed the core RMA, Revolution in Military Affairs. It was necessary to rethink our ethical prohibitions on manipulating the minds of enemies and potential enemies, both international and domestic, through persistent efforts and very sophisticated domestic consciousness raising. Old-fashioned notions of personal privacy and national sovereignty changed as technology changed the way force was applied. Things such as personal courage, face-to-face leadership, and the war fighter mentality became irrelevant. And that in 2000, technologies will be advanced to deprive human beings of their freedom and adjust their personality to the needs of the ruling elite. That was written in 1994. Information on this, there was an article, Means of Information War Threatened Democracy, taken down by Facebook. And then the Australian magazine New Dawn tried to write it, and then their stuff was taken down, so that you don't even know this, that the game has been fixed, that they are just, you know, working on your brain to such an extent you couldn't even imagine. It's like science fiction is not just true, but it's ancient history now, because probably a lot of you weren't even born in 1994. And how do we deal with, you know, this sort of enemy that is advancing so covertly into our private thoughts? As, you know, we played Boris Johnson's speech at the UN when he talked about your mattress reading your mind. And I don't think he wasn't kidding.
No. Well, your fish tank can read your mind, I think. It's a brave new world. And, you know, there's a YouTube channel called A Simulated Reality that has it's just full of this information. It's a great place to spend a lot of hours. But when you think about the things that are happening and you think about how it interacts with 5G and why it is that 5G has to be rolled out by the end of the year, Trump puts it, you know, at the highest priority of the Western world, especially the United States. And why is it that there's been no tests on its health and safety effects? And at the same time, many people understand that the frequencies that are planned for 5G are widely extreme. I mean, from 5 gigahertz to, say, 66 gigahertz. You know, this is a broad band of frequencies that aren't required just for cell phone communications or downloading the latest episode of your favorite reality show, et cetera. It's got something to do with something else. And there's a great deal of information out there now about being able to, you know, as you mentioned earlier, take control of the human mind. But the mechanism is just very complicated, but it makes sense. And it has to do with your DNA. And if you follow some of the stories of these people that are targeted individuals, I used to call them gang stalked, but I agree that word has lost its efficacy. these people that get targeted for what looks like endless life harassment and torture, they somehow are identified, and then they all have a common trait, which is that they notice that they're being followed. That's why it became known as gang stalking. And they see people repetitively in their, you know, in their life, showing up here and there, et cetera, and seeing them in odd places and so on. And you get the idea. They're being followed. And it's during that period of time between as they begin to become followed that other things start to happen to them. I know it was Richard Allen Miller. He's a PhD. he did most of his work in the 60s, but he wrote a book called Power Tools. And it was released, I think, 2008 or 9, but it's Power Tools for the Human Brain. And anyway, in that book, and also I've spoken to him a couple times myself personally, he talks about you know, even in the 60s, and he was involved with research having to do with the brain and how it could be weaponized, they could use microwave to brain transmission. And as though, as he described it, it is a seventh sense, that there's an opening to the brain that can be found with microwaves. And if the microwave is properly modulated, I would imagine amplitude modulated, but I don't know, it could then be a direct portal to your brain. And so you could hear voices in your head. And we've seen a number of people that have shown up on the radar as mass shooters, et cetera, making some sort of comments about, low energy ELF type weapons that were used to control them, to speak to them. That shooter that was involved with the Naval Yard down in D.C., circa what?
Oh, 2014. Yes.
He talked about ELF weapons, and he, in fact, even wrote it on his shotgun or whatever weapon he was carrying. But anyway, if you look at, see where they've come from there, and you understand that human DNA is actually structured like an antenna. It's a helical structure. Helical antennas are very important in nature. Their antenna studied strongly by Nikola Tesla. They're found in nature. They represent, you know, certain type of mathematical properties like Fibonacci sequences and so forth. Anyway, these antennas are in every cell in your body. And according to this new information that I have discovered by watching this video channel and then doing some of the research on my own, it's possible to get behind somebody and follow them long enough to ascertain their particular DNA's exact response frequency, meaning that every individual has unique DNA and also likely a unique way in which you can resonate or, you know, access that antenna that is our DNA. And in which case, once that connection is made, then that makes sense from there on out, because these people don't notice being followed as much anymore as they do other problems that show up in their lives. Painful experiences, headaches, voices in their head. Many of them say that, in fact, many of the people that have been studied make claims to those who they reach out to try to get help from that they want to be protected from harming someone, that they're being told to harm others or to perform some type of shooting, et cetera. And, of course, naturally, these people get referred to the medical system and are then identified as schizophrenic or some other form of psychosis, some mental illness that then requires medicine. And these medicines tend to be synergetic. And according to the material I read, they actually improve the connection to the individual's thoughts and his DNA, et cetera. And so this is by design that, you know, the psychiatric profession and psychologists, but psychiatry in general, helps facilitate this by automatically having a diagnosis for them. And then the rest of the world says, well, we can't help these people. They're crazy. And this individual then can be targeted and continue to be harmed indefinitely. And some of these people actually do shootings, and they claim all the things that I just mentioned. So we do live in a time period where we can be concerned about having a firewall over our own brain so that we have only us using it. And second of all, you know, they've got this secondary operation running. For example, in 2007, there was a white paper produced by the university or Purdue University called Sentient World Simulation, a continuously running model of the real world. And apparently the DOD got involved with this operation. And sometime in 2007, they actually created a running sentient world where apparently every single American is in this simulated world. And this world is designed to study the reactions of people. They call it a parallel planet Earth with billions of individual nodes to reflect every man, woman, and child this side of the dividing line between reality an artificial reality. It is a sentient world simulation. It is a synthetic mirror of the real world with automated continuous calibration with respect to current real world information. So we wonder why Google and the rest of these dangerous corporations, Amazon, et cetera, continuously track and monitor everything that you do. And it becomes apparent that these people are involved with operations like this SWS, and they provide information about every single person. And after tracking somebody for 10 or 15 years, they know what you buy at the grocery store. They know what medicines you're on. They know which way you vote. They understand what books you like to read. They know about your prurient interests and how blackmailable you are. They know everything. And they can then game and decide how you're going to act under any given circumstance. So whether you're going to point out a false flag or whether you're going to stand behind a crowd and go along with the propaganda mainstream media. And with a simulated environment such as they are talking about here, it is possible then to decide how everything that they're planning to do to you is going to happen and what reaction you're going to give them. And if they need to make modifications to it, they go back and game it again. And so if you couple that with the fact that they can then have access to your thoughts through tuned DNA connections, you see we're living in a
well, it looks like we're moving to the end of the show, Jack, and that is powerful information. So do send that to me. And they do want to give us the vaccines to give us the DNA-altering stuff for better antennas to control your brain.
Yep.
That's why Power Hour Nation is important. Thanks for coming out, everyone. Until the next time, I'm George Freund and Jack Mullen.
Thank you, George.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.